What is happening, everybody? Welcome to Season 4, Episode 1 of Sports Bar Talk. I am refreshed. I took a longer break than anticipated. I'll explain why here in a sec. But we got football back. And so maybe we'll touch briefly on other sports, but we're picking games today. We're going to pick the opener tonight, Cowboys-Eagles. We're going to pick the YouTube game between the Chiefs and the Chargers. We're going to pick the Sunday night game, the Monday night game, and of course our featured 1 and 4 o'clock block game. Hint, hint, it's going to be Lions-Packers. And I think you probably know who I'm going to go with for that game. But, as I mentioned, I anticipated doing this podcast a week or two ago. Was on vacation, went out with my boy Gucci, the one on a Saturday night, got back home, came down with what I thought was just a common head cold, and it felt like that. Cold, coughing, I did have chills, so I thought maybe I had a fever, and I thought a low-grade fever, which is normal sometimes. Whenever I get a cold, I occasionally will get a low-grade fever. I had chills. And then, you know, so I get sick on a Monday night, I experience symptoms. Tuesday, I get sick. By Sunday night, Monday, my mom's feeling pretty bad. And we were supposed to go celebrate my grandma's birthday, her actual birthday. And so on my grandma's birthday, my mom just felt horrible, had a fever. She tests for COVID, and she's got it. My father comes home from work. His voice just sounds off. He says, I feel my throat's a little scratchy, but I'm fine. Mom insists he tests. He's got it too! I test negative. But I was kind of towards the end of my symptoms. I still had a little sore throat, and I was still fatigued. Like, I could tell this wasn't a normal cold, because I was still fatigued for a week after. So I'm thinking I had COVID. So it took me out for about a week, week and a half. It was a great time to isolate. I mean, had a lot of great sports on. We had the Little League World Series on. I loved watching that tournament. I loved the manager for the Vegas team. He has incredible hair. I fell in love with which team was it? It was the Connecticut team or Massachusetts. Whoever represented New England, that team showed heart and grit. And so it was a great tournament to watch. Wish I could have gotten to Williamsport during my days of living in Pennsylvania. But you know what? I still got a long life to live. Hopefully I can get there at some point. But so yeah, that was a fun little week and a half of isolation. Enjoying the Little League World Series. But as a result, it kind of knocked me out. I couldn't really do a podcast. So, I'm back now. We have to do it today because football season starts. So, real quick, I'm going to give you a quick Super Bowl prediction, and then we'll pick the games. So, well, maybe not real quick because I want to do some analysis. We'll start with the NFC. I think it's a two-team race. Maybe three teams if you put the Commanders in there, but the year two, maybe people are going to finally start to figure out Jaden Daniels. Debo Samuel's in town now with the Commanders. We'll see what they can do. I think they're the biggest threat to Philly in the NFC East. Do I think they catch Philly in the NFC East? No, but I think they make it interesting to where maybe in the final 2-3 weeks of the regular season, there is a little division battle going on there. And that could very well, like, I've seen the schedules and, like, when they first came out. I don't know off the top of my head what the Week 18 matchup is, but if that Week 18 matchup is Commanders-Eagles, and it's tied and it's a winner-take-all for the division, that's going to be the NBC Week 18 Sunday night game. But I think it's either Philly or Detroit. Now, a lot of people don't think Detroit's going to make the playoffs. I think it's the NFC North is wide open this year, more wide open than it's been in the past couple years. Chicago, it looks like Caleb Williams is finally going to be great. You got Ben Johnson. They brought some guys in. They gave him an offensive line. Green Bay, they're always going to be Green Bay. They're always going to be good. Jordan Love's getting better by the year. They've brought some guys. And they got Micah Parsons now. What more could you ask for? By the way, that was... What is Jerry Jones thinking? I figured he was going to get traded. I can't believe Jerry decided to trade him within the conference. That is unbelievable. Jerry Jones, you know, I advocated for this with the Patriots and Belichick once Brady left. Belichick should relinquish his general manager duties and just be focused on coaching. He stuck with that. Jerry Jones should probably do the same. He should just stick to being the best owner he could be and not being the general manager. Let one of your sons be the general manager. Although that's probably not a good idea because they learned everything from you and they'd probably stink at it too. But, bring someone with experience in. Like, Jerry said, on long-term future, I'm thinking we're going to get better. Well, you just basically told the fans we're going to stink this year. And the way he's handled this offseason has been horrible. From firing Mike McCartney to promoting Brian Schottenheimer, the coach from within. We'll get to the Cowboys in a second. I'm going off on a tangent here. NFC Super Bowl pick. I think the Lions and the Eagles are in the NFC Championship game. I think where this game is played is a big deal. I think the home field advantage is going to be huge. So, I like Philly to come out of the NFC. They're the champs until proven otherwise. They basically kept all their guys. They brought some guys in. Some guys left, but the core is still there. Sirianni's still there. You do lose Kellen Moore, though, to the Saints. So you lose some of your coaching staff, but when a team is so good, you are going to lose your coordinators. So I like the Eagles to come out of the NFC. AFC is tricky, though, because it feels like all the contenders have regressed. Buffalo, they've kind of regressed, but they stacked up their defense. They've brought in Joey Bosa. They look like they're going to be a good team. A favorable schedule? Well, not really. They open up with the Ravens. We'll get to that game in a second. The Chiefs have kind of regressed, and you know, you lose Rashid Rice for potentially the first month of the season with his suspension. Kelsey's engaged. Kelsey had a down year last year. This probably is going to be his last year, unless something really, really happens dramatic. He's engaged to Taylor Swift. I think the engagement, he's going to use it as motivation to play out of his mind this year. Because 2 years ago, he did ball out. Last year was his first real down season, and people thought father time is catching up to him. So I think he's actually going to have a nice bounce back year. He won't be the number one tight end in the league. That's probably going to be Brock Bowers for fantasy purposes. But I think they'll have a good year. Juju Smith-Schuster's back. They've done some stuff to improve that defense. They look good there. The Bengals... The verdict's out on them. The offense, they kept the big three. Burrow, Chase, and Higgins. Now, the big question is, did they get protection for Burrow on that offensive line? Because he was running around getting sacked a lot last year. And did they improve the defense? Well, the Trey Hendrickson saga is just fascinating. It sounds like he did sign a contract extension. He was holding in or holding out. He got a raise. It wasn't the plan. But we'll see what his thing is like. What his situation's like. So the Bengals, they're always going to be lurking as potential contenders in the AFC. And then I look at the Ravens. You know, they've still got Lamar. They've still got Henry. They're going to be frets. They've got DeAndre Hopkins now. Yes, he's aging, but he's got wise experience. Mark Andrews is still there, but no Justin Tucker. We'll see how the new kicker, Matthew Tool, does in his stuff. So with all that being said, as wild as it sounds, I still think the Chiefs come out and make the Super Bowl for, what would this be? They didn't make it in 22. So it would be the fourth year in a row. And I believe it would be... They made it in 20. I believe it would be 5 out of the last 6, maybe. Maybe 4 out of the last 5 years they've made the Super Bowl. Wild run. Because, you know, Even the Patriots didn't make like 5 out of 6 Super Bowls. They might have in the early 2000s, but not in their second run. They made it. They won it in 15, and then they went 17, 18, and 19 back to back to back. They made 3. They actually might have made 4 out of the last 6. Now that I'm thinking about it, but it just doesn't feel like they weren't dominating in the regular season like Kansas City was. Now, last year, of course, Kansas City was doing the bare minimum. So, Chiefs and Eagles. And I hate to be so chalky, but I got to take Philly. A big game will be week 2, though. The big game on Fox at 4:25 will be Chiefs-Eagles. That'll be the 1 and 4 o'clock block game we pick. Fox just announced they're taking Fox NFL Sunday on the road for that game. They never go on site, by the way, unless it's Veterans Day weekend or the conference championship or the Super Bowl. So that tells you how big of a game this is. Or they're just learning from CBS, because CBS's pregame show will be on site at Lambeau for Lions-Packers this week. All right, let's pick some games, because I want to dig into this stuff. And we have a restaurant of the week, and we're already 11 minutes into the podcast. So let's start with the game that kicks it all off tonight. At 8:20, your local NBC station, or Peacock if you're a streamer. 8:20, the Cowboys, led by Dak. Here we go! Travel to Philly. It's banner-raising night. They celebrate their Super Bowl. The Philadelphia Eagles. Hurts, Barkley, Brown, Smith. That core is kept intact. Goddard is back at tight end. Elliott's back kicking. Mount Union alum Nick Sirianni back as a head coach. It's an interesting game. The line looks like this. Eagles are 8.5-point favorites. That was 7.5 or 6.5 before the Parsons trade. And, of course, the total 48.5, so that tells you we could be in for a high-scoring affair. And this is a tough game to pick because 8.5 is a lot of points. The Cowboys could easily cover this line. Now, do I think the game could be close? Absolutely. I look at the Cowboys' depth chart. Yes, they have Dak. Yes, they have CeeDee Lamb. But what else do they have? Running back's a question. Miles Sanders is there as the backup running back, the former Eagle. Javonte Williams, it sounds like, is going to start. They did trade for George Pickens, though. And I think this is a great thing for Pickens. I know in Pittsburgh he was the guy, so he was getting covered. He's going to be second fiddle, similar to the Juju Antonio Brown role with the Steelers in 2017. So with Pickens, I think he could have some dangerous plays. With him and Lamb, they're two big play threats. I'll give you that. As long as Pickens' emotions don't get the best of him and he crashes out, I think he could be very successful in Dallas. Now, is the team going to be successful? I got low expectations this year. Jake Ferguson's back as tight end. He's a great tight end. One of the best in the league. Defensive-wise, they kind of gotten downgraded. They've got Kenny Clark's the new addition to this team. He was acquired in the Parsons trade. Former Green Bay Packer. That's a downgrade. I'll tell you that right now. He's a good pass rusher, but he's no Micah Parsons. Otherwise, they still have Deron Bland. They still have Trevon Diggs. They've got Malik Hooker now, the former Ohio State Buckeye. By the way, go Bucks. It wasn't pretty, but they won the game 14-7, and Arch Manning might be overhyped. That's my takeaway from week 1 of college football. However, back to the pros. Kicking-wise, they have Brandon Aubrey, and I think Aubrey's going to be the best kicker in fantasy this year. And a lot of fantasy football rankings have him as the #1 kicker. So, as far as picking the game, I'm actually going to take an angle I don't normally take. If I were to take a side, 8.5 is too many points. I would probably just go with the Cowboys and hope for a backdoor cover, although I think this game could get ugly real quick. So what I'm going to do is actually take a total, but I'm not taking the full game total. We're going to take the first half over 23.5. I think points will come early and often. And if it's a blowout, you won't see much points in the second half because Philly's going to try and run out the clock. Also, another thing to keep in mind. Jerry Jones says, we're going to stop the run. We were horrible at stopping the run last year. I got Kenny Clark so we could stop the run, something Micah Parsons didn't get us. Well, I mean, Philly's also got a great passing attack. If you can't run the ball, Hurts is going to throw it up to Devontae or AJ, and one of them's going to come down with the ball. So, and plus, really, with this Eagles team, they really only need to get 9 yards to get a first down. Once they get 9 yards, they're just going to touch push and get the first down. So, good luck trying to stop the run, Jerry. Good luck to the Cowboys trying to stop the run. I think the Eagles win the game, but we're going to take the over 23.5 in the first half only. First half only. All right, let's go to the Friday night Brazil game. And I probably ran it on this last year. Why are we playing week one games internationally? Well, I'm still mad about that, but I'm even madder about something more now. It's the Chiefs and the Chargers. It's a divisional rivalry. Now you might say, Alex, well, this is a Chargers home game, and if you went to the Chargers and Chiefs at SoFi, the crowd was 60% Chiefs fans. I don't care. It's a division rivalry. And much like how I feel about baseball playing their first games of the regular season over in Japan, you can do spring training games in Japan for Ohtani. The people will still show up in masses. You can do a Brazil game in Week 7 and have a bye week in Week 8. Week 1 games should be played in America. Especially division rivalries. All divisional NFL games should be played in America. It's unbelievable. All right, that's my rant for that. Let's get to the game itself. It's a close line, ladies and gentlemen. Chiefs are 3-point favorites, total 46.5. So I don't know what the altitude's like in Brazil. If I'm remembering correctly, you know, the Packers-Eagles game that was there last year was actually a pretty good game. By the way, we also should mention the TV info for this game. Not going to be on traditional TV. It's going to be on YouTube. But here's the catch. You don't have to pay for YouTube. You don't even got to give them a credit card. You might have to sign up for a Google account. I don't know about that yet. But you can watch the game any language you want. If you're watching the English feed, it's going to be Rich Eisen and Kurt Warner on the call. I believe it is a NBC production, but they're using NFL Network talent. And, so yeah, it's going to be on YouTube. Free. Don't have to give YouTube any credit card information. And it's free worldwide. So, if you're living in the Netherlands, you can watch this game. But the Chiefs are 3-point favorites. Now, let's look at the Chargers. Year 2, real quick. Year 2, under Jim Harbaugh, Justin Herbert coming back as the quarterback. They did bring back a familiar face this offseason, however. Keenan Allen is back, and it looks like he will be the number 2 or number 3 wide receiver. He did most of his damage in L.A. I believe when he was in L.A. 2 or 3 years ago, he actually had a great season. Then he went to Chicago and things kind of went downhill. We'll see. I think he has a chance to really rebound. I love him in fantasy this year. Tight end wise, Will Disley, Tyler Conklin. Conklin, of course, the former Jets tight end. Disley, formerly with the Seattle Seahawks. So they look really good. Running back wise, this could be a dangerous running back room. So they got Najee Harris, who signed with them after being released from the Steelers. He'll probably be the power short yardage back. They have Omarion Hampton, the rookie out of North Carolina. By the way, how about that North Carolina game on Monday night? Wow! Did they get blown out by TCU? But let's pump the brakes. It's not time to worry in Chapel Hill yet. He's going to be a good speed back, and he's got a chance to do really good things in the NFL. People are so high on him. He's like a second-round fantasy pick. Borderline first-round fantasy pick. So that's what you need to know about Omarion. He's speedy, has good cuts, can easily score you touchdowns. Defensively, Bosa's gone. Joey Bosa, I mentioned, is gone. He's in Buffalo. So the defense is kind of downgraded a little bit. Yes, they have Derwin James, but he's aging too. Khalil Mack's on the squad. He remember how dangerous he was? Well, he's kind of aging. They have another good edge rusher, Bud Dupree. He's pretty good as well. So the defense looks good. On kicking duties, Cameron Dicker, great place kicker, good fantasy kicker as well. J.K. Scott is the punter. Oh, we forgot to mention, Ladd McConkey, wide receiver one. This will be his second season in the NFL. I expect a better season from him, even though he had a really good first season in the NFL. So, there you go with the Chargers. And real quick, we'll take a peek at the Chiefs depth chart. Real quick, we obviously know Mahomes is in as the quarterback, and Pacheco's about to be the lead running back. They also still have Kareem Hunt. He'll probably be the short yardage back. Wide receiver-wise, they have Hollywood Brown back, Worthy back. I mentioned Rashid Rice. He'll be on a suspension. That could potentially go longer. Juju's back. Tight end-wise, you got Kelsey back, Noah Gray back. The third-string tight end is an interesting one, though. They've brought in Robert Tonyan, who was a good tight end for the Packers, but injuries kind of have curbed his career success a little bit. Defensively, a lot of the same guys are back. Chris Jones, Karlaftis, Drew Tranquil, Nick Bolton, Trent McDuffie, and then, of course, Butker is back as the kicker. Matt Araiza back punting. I like this Chiefs team. I think Andy Reid has a coaching masterclass. I think it's going to be close. I think this could easily be decided by a field goal. So we're just going to take the Chiefs to win the game. I do think the Chiefs win. But I'll tell you this. Since Mahomes has arrived in the league, the Chiefs and Chargers always play instant classics. It doesn't matter who the Chargers have or who the Chiefs have. The games are always competitive. They're always high scoring. Sometimes they go to overtime. And they're just always great games. So, as far as the GAC goes, we're on Chiefs to win. All right, we're going to go to Monday Night Football because that's the least appealing game right now. You've got, we'll pick some of these quickly. Bears-Vikings. Year two for Caleb Williams. It looks like he's going to have a better year. Real quick, new coach, Ben Johnson, of course, the former offensive coordinator for the Lions. They've gotten better. Roma Dunze looks like he's going to have a better year. Colston Loveland looks like he's going to have a good year. Running back-wise, the verdict's out. DeAndre Swift is the lead back, but Ben Johnson didn't like using Swift that much when they were both in Detroit together. So the verdict's out there. DJ Moore looks like he's going to be really good as a wide receiver. So yeah, Cole Kmet, Colston Loveland looks like a two tight end setup there. They do bring in Joe Tooney, the former Chief. He's going to be left guard on the offensive line there. Defensive-wise, they have Byard, the talented safety. Jonathan Owens, of course, also a great safety. Also the significant other, the Simone Biles. Montez Sweat comes in. He's a great pass rusher. Grady Jarrett. Bears look really good. And then with the Vikings, you've got J.J. McCartney. Really his first full season in the league. He has a good backup, though. A good serviceable backup in Carson Wentz. Aaron Jones is going to be the running back. Him and Jordan Mason, it looked like, will split stuff. Justin Jefferson, of course, the second best wideout in the league behind Ja'Marr Chase. He's going to look really good. Addison, he's suspended for a couple games. He'll be back. He'll be good then. Adam Thielen's back, though. After one or two seasons gone from the Vikings. He was around for Kevin O'Connell's first year as head coach. He's back. So I'm sure that'll be really good for him. He had his best years with the Vikings. And then on defense, they have Jonathan Allen they brought in this year. Javon Hargraves. Andrew Van Ginkle. He's a good guy. Harrison Smith stays. So this is a good Vikings team. And by the way, this is Monday Night Football. So, of course, the usual. Joe Buck, Troy Aikman on the call on ESPN. But if you want the Manning cast on ESPN2, that's all good. That's probably the broadcast I'll watch. Just full disclosure there. The line is at 1.5 to the Vikings. It's a pick'em. So we're going to take, and I'm sorry to my Lions fans that want me to pick a tie or both teams to lose. I'm going to take the Bears to win. I do. It's at Soldier Field. That place is going to be rocking, because this is the most optimistic Bears fans have been probably since 2018, maybe? Probably longer than that. The Bears actually have a good football team this year, and they could make a wild card for the playoffs. So I'm taking the Bears to win there. And we'll go. We're going to do the 1 and 4 o'clock block game, because I do believe the game of the week this week is Ravens Bills. So Lions Packers. Of course, the coordinators are gone for the Lions. Ben Johnson, we just mentioned, goes to Chicago. Aaron Glenn, the defensive coordinator, goes to be the head coach of the Jets. So Dan Campbell's got some new coordinators. But it's guys that he promoted from within, so they know the plays, they know the staff, and not much is going to change. As far as the depth chart for the Lions, Jared Goff, back at quarterback. They still are going to have the best running back duo in the league, Sonic and Knuckles. Of course, I'm talking about David Montgomery and Jahmyr Gibbs. Wide receiver-wise, not much has changed. Amon-Ra St. Brown, J-Mo, Jameson Williams. They do have some new guys in. Well, Khalif Raymond's not a new guy, obviously. But Tim Patrick out. The rookie Isaac Tesla is in. Dominic Lavette also in as wide receiver. Tight end-wise, not much has changed there. Laporta, Brock Wright. Of course, also Shane Zylstra in there as well. Offensive line looks really good. Penei Sewell, Tate Rutledge, Taylor Decker. So, yeah. And but Dan Skipper's gone. Of course, the whole thing was Skipper reported in that Cowboys game a couple years ago. He's gone now. But defensively, Hutch is back. Aiden Hutchinson. So I expect a lot of sacks from this Lions defense. DJ Reader, also a great D lineman. They have Davenport back as an edge linebacker. Anzalone. So I expect a lot of sacks from this Lions defense this year. DJ Reed, Teron Arnold, Brian Branch, Kirby Joseph. These are guys that'll get you interceptions as well. So the pass rush can force the Aaron Froes, and you can get the pick sixes or the fumble recoveries. Special teams-wise, Jake Bates is back. The UFL Michigan Panther legend for his second NFL season. And of course, the Fox, Jack Fox, back at punter. As far as the Packers are concerned, really quick, we know Matt LaFleur is back as the head coach. Jordan Love back for another season quarterbacking the Packers. Of course, Josh Jacobs is back as the running back. You've got Romeo Doubs as wide receiver. Of course, Jaden Reed, Dontavian Wicks. But they also bring in the guy they drafted with their first-round pick, Matthew Golden out of the University of Texas. He looks like a promising wide receiver. As a rookie, he played really well at Texas. Tight end-wise, they have Tucker Kraft. And here's a little piece of advice. If you drafted Tucker Kraft in your fantasy league, take a screenshot of you drafting him. Send it to Kraft Mac and Cheese, and they'll put you in a drawing to win free mac and cheese for a year. I didn't get to draft Tucker Kraft because in one of my leagues, the guy drafted him right before I was about to take him. So, there's that. But you can win free mac and cheese for up to a year. All right, defensively, real quick. They've got Parsons now, and that's really all you need to know. They have Xavier McKinney, Edgerrin Cooper, Isaiah McDuffie, Rashawn Gary. They're going to be a scary defense this year. Brandon McManus is the kicker now, the former Denver Bronco, and he has a nice leg. He can kick it far, so don't be surprised that the Packers attempt some 60-plus yard field goals this year, because they got the guy to do it. All right, as far as the game is concerned, the line is 2.5 to the Packers. And by the way, this is the big 425 game on CBS. Most of the country is going to get the game. If for some reason you live in Texas or I think just LA area, you're going to get Texans and Rams in this window. But initially I was going to take the Lions to win, because when I was studying this, the line was 1.5. but we're going to take the 2.5. So as long as they can either win or lose by 1 or 2 points, and we're going to be fine. We win the pick. Total also in this game is 47.5. So they're expecting a high scoring game, and I expect that as well. It's Lambeau. It's the summertime. It won't be a downpour like it was last year when these two teams played in Lambeau. Can tell you that right now. So no one's glasses will be fogging up if you remember the shot of Aaron Glenn last year at the game. They cut to him and his glasses were all fogged up. It was pretty funny. All right, game of the week, Sunday Night Football. Tirico and Collinsworth, their second of two games they'll be calling this week. Of course, they're calling the game tonight. Also, of course, streaming on Peacock. Gotta mention that now because so many people stream. One of these weeks, I'll do an episode where I rant about streaming and how expensive everything is, but line is 1.5. The Ravens are favored. The game, of course, is in Buffalo, though. The line is, the total line, though, is 50.5. And you look at the Bills, I mentioned they did kind of downgrade on offense this year. Amari Cooper is gone. Stephon Diggs was gone, though. I was about to mention him, but he was, of course, in Houston last year, and now he's in New England. So where are they going to look at? Well, James Cook, he's a great running back. He can also be the pass catcher. They have Khalil Shakir. They have Keon Coleman. Elijah Moore comes in this year. He's a suitable backup. Tight end-wise, they still have the same two guys they've been using for the past couple years. Dalton Kincaid, Dawson Knox. But here's where they got better. The defense. They've got, of course, Gregory Rousseau and Ed Oliver. They're back. Tre'Davious White's back. Taylor Rapp's back. Matt Milano's back, I believe. They brought in Joey Bosa. And he is scary. Of course, we know him and Nick, his brother, who's on the 49ers, they are game wreckers. They can determine a game, much like TJ Watt in Pittsburgh. He is a game wrecker. And they will have more sacks this year, I do believe. Tough first game, though, for fantasy purposes. Drawing Baltimore. So, yeah, that's a tough one right there. And, of course, Tyler Bass, one of the better kickers in the league, is back kicking for the Bills. Looks like he had some groin issues in practice today, so he might be out this week. Something to monitor if you have Tyler Bass as your fantasy kicker. Now, let's talk about the Ravens. A lot of people think this team can win the Super Bowl. For much of the offseason, the books actually had the Ravens as the favorites to win the Super Bowl. So, that shows you what they think of the Ravens. I don't see it, though. The wide receiver lineup is not bad, but it could be better. So, of course, quarterback-wise, Lamar's back, ready to prove the doubters wrong. Derrick Henry back as running back. Man, the running back room hasn't changed, okay? It's still Henry, it's still Justice Hill, it's still Keaton Mitchell. Patrick Ricard at fullback, and then wide receiver-wise, a lot of the same guys. Zay Flowers, Tylan Wallace, Rashad Bateman. But, as I mentioned, they've brought in DeAndre Hopkins. Probably no more than a veteran type of deal. Teach the young guys. And, of course, probably go up and make some insane one-handed catches. Tight end-wise, Andrews and Likely are back, as well as Charlie Kohler. Defensive-wise, they've got Roquan Smith now. Broderick Washington's in. Of course, Odafe Owe is still there. Kyle Hamilton's still there, ready for his second year. Of course, the former Notre Dame guy. Kyle Van Noy is back. So, yeah. And then I mentioned Justin Tucker's out. Tyler Loop in as the kicker. Jordan Stout will be handling punts. So, as far as the game is concerned, the Ravens are 1.5-point favorites, but we're going to take Buffalo to win. I just believe that atmosphere in Buffalo is going to be too much to match. Remember last year, the Ravens were a 2-point conversion away from winning that game in the divisional round, but Mark Andrews dropped a wide-open touchdown pass, and that's how they lost. So I'm sure Mark has that on his mind, so expect a good big game from Mark Andrews. But as far as the picks go, We're taking the first half over of 23.5 in Cowboys-Eagles. We're going to take the Chiefs to win. The Lions to cover 2.5. Ravens-Bills. Bills to win. And, of course, the Bears to win. So, there are the picks. And we won't do that. We won't do six normally every week. It's normally, typically, we do the Thursday night game, the Sunday night game, the Monday night game, and a game in the 1 and 4 o'clock block. And if the Thursday night game is so bad, I do two in the 1 and 4 o'clock block. Or if there's like a Monday night doubleheader. Well, sometimes I won't do the other game in the Monday night doubleheader. We'll do that. And I include like the London 9:30 a.m. games, the Sunday morning games. I include those on the 1 and 4 o'clock block because that's really a Sunday game, even though it's standalone. So, yeah. All right, restaurant of the week, really quick. Ate at a lot of good spots over my hiatus when I wasn't sick. But when I was sick, I found this place on TikTok, and I sent it to my mom. They are on, and they don't have a website, so I got to do the old-fashioned way. I have the takeout menu in my hand. So if you hear paper crumblings or rumblings, I'm reading the menu the old-fashioned way. I feel like I'm living in 2005. It's amazing. But, here we go. I don't even see an address on this place, but I know it's in Troy. And, oh, here we go. It's on 34781 DeQuindre Road. It's kind of at the intersection, though, of Maple and DeQuindre. So, just take Maple Road out to DeQuindre and you'll find the place. This is an Italian specialty restaurant. Italian family and pizza. Really good New York-style pizza. It's called Tony's Pizzeria and Restaurant. And my first thought when I saw the TikTok review was, I sent it to my mom and she was like, let's get this for dinner. They have really good pizza. Now, it's not Detroit-style pizza. It's New York-style. And so you're going to get a thin type of crust. And it's just going to be a very nice summer-type pie. Not a lot of flop. I got the cheese with ham. It was a really good pizza. Get the prices for this place is so reasonable. For a one-topping cheese pizza, for a large, it's $14.90. That's just shy of $15. Most places, just a plain cheese pizza is $15. So, you really hit the jackpot of this place. And it's not just the pizza that's affordable. Everything else is pretty affordable. They have a good eggplant parm. My dad got that. We also did get, because of the TikTok recommendation, and I forget who posted the TikTok, but I'll give him credit right now. You made a great video. We got a pepperoni pie, and I believe we got that as a medium. So, and I don't like pepperoni, so I didn't have any of it, but it was the cupped pepperoni, which I hear is so much better than traditional pepperoni. And then, let's see, my mom got the, Maurice salad, because that was also what the lady got in the review, and my mom loved that salad. And then as far as appetizers, we got onion rings. Their onion rings were phenomenal. They call their breadsticks the bread basket, and they were pretty good breadsticks. Trying to think, did we get anything else? I think that's all we got. Well, we got minestrone soup, because my mom wanted some soup because we were all still recovering from the sickness. But it was really good. Highly recommend this place if you're a Michigan resident. It's affordable, but it tastes premium. Tony's Pizzeria. It's a Troy address, but it's really on the Troy-Warren border. Yeah. That's Tony's. Alright, didn't expect to go 39 minutes here with this first episode of Season 4, but when you're picking six NFL games, you kind of have. So I'll see you next week for week 2 of the NFL season. And this is Sports Bar Talk, where we got the best seat in the house.